Thank you, Jesus. Stupid devil loses every time, I'm telling you. Are you ready for the word tonight? Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. We're doing some faith boosters here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Are you ready? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, we talked about this verse last week and found out that substance means what you're standing on, the substance. So faith is the foundation of the things you're hoping for if you're believing for something from God. In other words, without faith, you cannot receive of the supernatural. God has a whole set of promises, a whole package of power He wants to release us as His children, as His people. We're King's kids, right, China? He wants to release to us, but it requires faith to access it. It's kind of like, you know, if you look at the power grid in America, there's all this high voltage going through all these wires all around America. But until you have a wire running from the post to your home, you can't receive of it. Well, God's got unlimited power and provision available, but we've got to have a line to receive of it, and faith is that line. It's the foundation of receiving out of the supernatural realm. It connects you. You know, in my house, I'm sure you do as well, I have a router with a Wi-Fi set up. You may not have that. We have some people in here that are older than me that may not have Wi-Fi. But most people have Wi-Fi now. And going through the house at all times, you know, there are these signals available from all types of directions. And before I had Wi-Fi, I had internet in my house. But Wi-Fi let me pick up internet anywhere in my house on my wireless devices. Well, faith lets you pick up God's signal, lets you pick up His provision. And you must have it in place, have it developed, and have it connected to produce for you, right? So it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, a better word for evidence is conviction. If you'll look up that word, should you so desire, you'll find that in most cases that word is interpreted out of the Greek as conviction. Faith is being convinced in what you can't see. Because you're believing for God's provision, His power, His blessing, His victory out of the kingdom of heaven, you can't see into their realm with your natural eyes. Right? And faith is believing you can receive what you can't see in the natural. So faith is necessary. Faith allows you to receive beyond the realm of natural reasoning, beyond the realm of natural expectation, beyond the realm of natural vision. Do you see this? Faith is able to see into the unseen realm. So go over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, I believe chapter 4 is where we want to go. Chapter 4, verse 18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, talking about with natural eyes, right? In other words, it's saying, don't look at the natural. We look not. We're not looking at what the natural predicts, what the natural declares. The natural declares that, you know, you're under the curse. The natural declares that you're going to lose. The natural declares that everything's falling apart around you. And we don't look at that. If we back up a verse, look at the context. It says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, I'm convinced everybody in the world is experiencing some level of affliction. Of course, some a whole lot more than others, right? I'm so glad I live in America. I believe being in America delivers us from a whole lot of affliction that people in a lot of other countries experience. Amen? But it says our light affliction is but for a moment for us. Now, who is the us he's talking about? He's talking about believers. See, light affliction for the world just gives birth to more light affliction and even more affliction. The world is birthed into hopelessness and advances in a hopeless state all the way through. But for us who believe, us who have a promise, our light affliction is but for a moment. And if we go through it properly, if we go through it by faith, if we go through it by the Word of God, if we go through it with God, it works for us an eternal weight of glory. When you use your faith to go through problems, and you go through them unto victory, it takes you to a higher level of glory than you've known in the past. Do you see this? So then he says, "For while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen," right? "For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." I like what I heard Gloria Copeland say years ago. She said, "Today's news is tomorrow's bird carpet, bird cage carpeting." In other words, you take the newspaper, the next day it's old news, it becomes the carpet for the bird that you can throw out with what the bird leaves behind, right? So we're to look at the things which are not seen. Now, what's he talking about, look at the not seen? How do you look at the not seen? In the Word. In other words, you're looking at what God has promised with the eyes of your spirit. You're looking at the things God's promised with an internal eye versus an external eye. You're not looking at what the natural prediction, you're looking at what God has declared. Because you've come to understand what God has declared, if we will believe it and stand on it and speak it, will override what we see with the natural eye. Do you follow this? So we are dependent upon our affliction that we experience hinges upon what we see. Did you follow me? Because if you're limited to seeing only with natural eyes, you will remain under the light affliction, which can then become heavy affliction. In fact, it can become affliction unto death. But if you will see beyond in that realm with eyes of faith, it can then deliver you into a realm that you are able to rise above the affliction unto the eternal weight of glory zone. And I want the glory. I want the victory. I want the power of God. I want the glory of God. Amen. And so we've got to be able to look with the internal eye versus the eye of the flesh, the eye of reason, the eye of normal expectation, right? So what we look at dictates what we receive. Oh, praise the Lord. Now, we covered this a week or two ago about Abraham in our study of covenant. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I'm thy shield, thy exceeding great reward." Now here it says that God showed up in a vision to Abraham. Now do you see a vision with the internal eye or the external eye? External eye meaning your natural eye, right? Do you see a vision with the internal or the external? In most cases, with the internal. Now, you can have an open vision where God opens up, you know, a scene and you see it with a natural eye. But in most cases, visions are seen with the internal eye. We don't know which one Abraham had here. But what really is going on is God is bypassing natural vision and bringing to him a supernatural impartation. Regardless of which eye he saw it with, it was information from the unseen realm. So God brought Abraham information from the unseen realm to enable him to live above the seen realm. God says, "I'm your exceeding great reward," right? Well, then Abraham says, watch this, verse 2. "And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me?" In other words, you said to him, you're my reward. What are you going to give me? "Seeing I go childless, and the steward of Eli is..." This Eleazar, let me read it. And the steward of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. In other words, Abraham had no children. So he's saying, God, you've told me in the past my seed would be innumerable, right? He'd already told him that. And now you said you're going to bless me. What are you going to give me, saying I don't have any children? And it looks like my heir is going to be my steward, and he's not even of my lineage. But Abraham says, what are you going to give me? Seeing I go childless. Now, God had already promised in chapter 12 that Abraham would be the father of nations, right? Nations would be blessed out of Abraham. But now Abraham is not able to see it. He's not had any children. Sarah's not gained any weight in the right spots. You follow me? There's no indication to the natural eye he's going to have any children. Things look deader than ever before. And so he says, what will you give me? Seeing with the natural eye, with natural reason, with natural expectation, I don't have an heir. And then God says, we're going to cut a covenant. We covered this a few weeks ago. God made a covenant with Abraham, right? And in verse 18, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river Egypt, even to the great river, the river Euphrates. He goes on. He says, I've given you this land. And he's told him, your seed is going to be multiplied. Now, covenant let Abraham move from not seeing the promise to fully seeing the promise. When God made covenant with Abraham, it transitioned him into a place, into an arena of seeing the promise of God as being guaranteed. Now, he still made some mistakes on the way. I believe that thing with Hagar and Ishmael was a bit of a mistake that they're still paying for today, right? But this covenant let him know that God was going to do what he said he would go do, because covenant declares an unbreakable promise, right? And God made covenant on behalf of Abraham. Now let's go over to Romans chapter 4 and see what happens here. See, what covenant did is God's covenant promise allowed Abraham from going to not seeing with the natural to seeing with the internal eye. And when he could see with the internal eye, it would override what he saw with the natural eye. Did you follow me on that? I better say it again. Once Abraham received the covenant promise that he knew God was going to do what he said he would do, it transitioned him from being able to not see with the natural eye to being able to see with the spiritual eye. And the spiritual eye seeing is able to override what the natural eye couldn't see. Do you see this? And when faith arises in a person, it lets them see beyond the natural. It bursts within them a knowing of what they possess, even when everything in the natural says you can't have it or says it's impossible. Yeah. Amen? I'm thinking right now about how Jesus told the disciples, you've got to have faith as a child. And, of course, the story I always think about as well is, you can tell a child there are 40 bazillion stars in the sky plus two. And they'll quote that as that's the exact number of stars in the sky. 40 bazillion plus two. My teacher said it. I mean, kids always believe what the teacher says. And you can tell a child anything and they will believe it. They can see it. And the only thing that you cannot get across to a child that they will see to tell them, yes, that's wet paint. Because they've got to test that one, right? Don't stick your finger in that socket, whichever. Certain things they won't believe, but you can tell them a fact, and they'll quote it because they then see it. And God wants us to get to the point when He says it, we see it. And when He says it and you can see it, then it overrides everything else that tries to arise that would say you can't have it. Amen? So in Romans chapter 4, I need to get there myself. Let's go to number 13. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Abraham was positioned to be made heir of the world through faith. Amen. It goes on down. Let's go down to verse number 17. Well, let's back up. Verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure. To all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. What Paul's saying here is he's saying the promise of salvation is not just to the Jew, but also to the Gentile. Do you follow me? But it's going to be through faith, not through works. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. This is what God promised to Abraham. Do you see this? And after God promised that he was still going, seeing I go childless. He was doubting until he got a covenant promise. The point I want to make is you have a whole set of covenant promises. This New Testament is the new covenant, and it's full of promises to us. And we have access not just to the new covenant promises, but to the old covenant promises. And you can see it if you put your eyes on it. It'll produce an internal vision for you. It says, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth or makes alive the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now tonight, should we get far enough into this teaching, I want to show a tie tonight between what you see and what you say. Because your mouth is connected to what you see. What you see is what you're going to say. What you put your eyes in front of is what you're going to speak about. Amen. And God wants to get us so full of the Word that we see His promise that overrides what we would say about the natural. And we speak what God has said. And we see here that God calleth those things which be not as though they were. In other words, God, and we're supposed to be like this, can see the possibilities. We develop an internal vision of what is available, of what is possible, what even in our case, what God has promised, and we speak according to what we see. But until you truly see it internally, I'm talking about with eyes of faith, you will still speak the problem. Your faith must arise to a level you see the solution as available and greater than the light affliction. Do you follow me? And of course, that's where meditating the Word comes in. You meditate it until it forms an image. Till it forms an image on the inside that you know that you have it. And once you know that you have it, faith has made a connection. And now you can say it and faith is activated. But you've got to get to the place you see it. And I tell you what, I can speak to somebody, and you probably can too if you've been doing this very long. You can speak to somebody for a few minutes and know whether they're in faith for a solution or not. Based on what they are saying. Whether they're speaking more about the problem or more about the promise. And when faith has its way in your life, you will see the promise. So God calls those things which be not as though they were. Verse 18. Who against hope, talking about Abraham, believed in hope. Now that sounds like an entire twist on words. Let me read through the rest of the verse. We'll come back to it. That he might become the father of many nations. So we see this is Abraham, right? The father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. This was not just spoken. There was a covenant cut with regard to it. And so it says here, that Abraham, against hope, believed in hope. Now, that would probably confound a lot of people functioning out of the natural mind, who against hope believed in hope. How do you against hope believe in hope? What it's saying is, who against any natural hope. See, natural hope said you can't have any children. Natural hope says Sarah's body's dead. She's never been able to conceive. Now yours is dead. You're not able to conceive. By the time he was 99, you follow me? And there was no natural hope left. So against natural declarations of the situation, Abraham believed in hope. What was the hope he believed in? The word, so shall thy seed be. See, God, through bringing that covenant to Abraham, through giving him the vision, the visitation, the covenant word he gave to him, Abraham was able to meditate that word until it formed such an image within him. He believed in the internal image more than the outward appearance. Who against hope believed in hope that he might be the father of many nations. And we have to do the same thing. We've got to meditate God's promise until the internal image is greater than the external appearance. Now understand what happened on the way. God kept appearing to Abraham over 20, it was really over 25 years till he had Isaac. Kept appearing to him repeatedly, giving him the promise. But then he had him become circumcised with regard to the promise, with regard to the covenant. I mean, on circumcision would probably give him at least several times a day a reminder of the covenant. What's God having him do? Remind him that he's got a promise from God. But then he changed his name and changed Sarah's name. So all day they're calling themselves mother of many and father of many. And as they're saying that, they required them to process what they spoke to reinforce the vision of the image God gave for them to focus on. Did that come out okay? Every time he says Abraham, my name is now Abraham, not Abraham, Abram, it's not Abram, it's Abraham. I am father of many. He's got to say, and I have a word from God on it. So all day he's going, I have a word from God on it. China shared at the beginning of service, at the beginning of, at least after praise and worship, she shared that for some time she's been confessing every day, I'm the daughter of a king. And she said today, it was today, right? Today it became revelation. She saw it. She kept saying it. Every time she said it, it added to the image within. And all of a sudden, all the colors, all the words, all the image came together. And she saw, I am not just the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm the daughter of the King who owns it all. And guess what? She will walk differently the rest of her life because of that revelation. Everything's going to shift now because she says, I realize I'm the daughter of the God who owns it all. He possesses it all. And who's going to mess with the daughter of the King? That's also what China said. Right? She's here quoting it now. Nobody. She's ready to fight over this thing already now. Why? Because the continual declaration produced an internal image that faith was able to be founded upon. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence or conviction of the unseen. And now she sees it. Do you see it? So Abraham, against hope, believed in hope. Verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. It says, not being weak in faith, he didn't consider he and Sarah's bodies were dead. Talking about with regard to reproduction. He didn't consider it. What's happened? Because, and it says at about 100 years old, he was actually 99 when they conceived, right? When he was at this, well, we believe he's 99. Could have been right at 100. He had Isaac when he was 100, so somewhere in that time frame. He was required to start calling himself Abraham at 99. So in that time frame between 99 and 100, faith rose to a level that it overrode what the natural declared. See, just 20 years earlier, he's going, seeing I go childless. But because the word has been able to work its way down within him, and he's got a covenant on it, he's able to meditate it and declare it. All of a sudden, he's no longer seeing I go childless. He's no longer staggering at the promise of God through unbelief. Oh, praise be to God. See, we mentioned it last week. We bring it out here all the time. It's our responsibility to target and build our faith for what we want God to do. Faith does not come accidentally. It doesn't even come because you come to church a few times. Faith is an intentional development of a spiritual force that's able to allow you to receive out of the supernatural. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, here we see he didn't stagger. Was strong in faith. And here's an indication that you're strong in faith. You continue to praise God under the affliction you're experiencing. Whether it's light or heavy, you praise God. No matter what you know that Abraham had to be a laughingstock around town. I mean, how many of you? Now, I know they lived a little bit longer than Abraham lived to be, 146 or something like that? No, 170-something, wasn't it? He lived longer. But how many of you see a man walking around at 100 years old going, oh, yeah, I'm about to have a bunch of kids? And you think, well, maybe so. But you look at his wife, and she's 90 going, I don't think so. Certain things shift. Are you following me? And they're calling themselves mother men and father men. Don't you know they were the mockery around town? But he didn't stagger. He did not stop calling himself Abraham and calling her Sarah. And they gave glory to God despite the opposition, despite the mockery. They gave glory to God for the promise. Why? Because the internal image of faith was able to override the natural images that circumstances were declaring. Do you see that? And we live in a cursed world. It will tend to produce images of affliction and failure. But faith in God's word is able to produce images of victory and overcoming and blessing and health and peace and joy and love. Praise God. We must get the word down within us to create the right internal image. Verse 21. And being fully persuaded. Give me one second. I want to see something. I just noticed something there. Okay. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Abraham was fully persuaded. There was no wavering, no doubting. Now, he wavered for probably the first 24 years. Although, in Genesis chapter 15, where he had the covenant, he knew God had given him a promise. But he reached a point there was no more wavering. That declaring himself Abraham and Sarah did something within him to produce an internal image that he knew that he knew. It belonged to him. Oh, praise God. And we have a right to create an internal image. Follow me on this. We have a right to create an internal image that you will never lose again. That you can manifest the Shekinah glory of God. That God can save all of your household. That God can pay all of your bills in advance. Bring you new cars, whatever. How about this? That you can live in a city of glory, that God's presence dwells upon the city. We have promises for this. We can create that internal image. And aren't you glad that God will give us external faith connection points, like that water tower out there, that we can use to remind us of what internal image we should be carrying. See, sometimes we need reminders to create the right image. I mentioned this before. I don't know how many times I've read the Bible. Many, many times. A lot of it, you know, hundreds of times. And a lot of times I'll pick up the what happened today. I pick up the Bible, start reading in Acts. I'm going, I've read this chapter 27,000 times. Should I skip it and go somewhere else? But no, I'm going to read right here. Why? Because there's reminders in that. Even if you can quote the word, when you read it and you ponder it in your mind, it forces you to reflect on the image God has placed in the word that we can build our faith to. Did you follow that? And Abraham staggered not. He was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was also able to perform and would perform it. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Praise God. God has given us every tool we need to create an overriding internal image. We're right now, you're seeing me live. There are other people seeing me via Facebook Live. And if you miss a service, we want you to know you can tune in through Facebook if we're broadcasting that service. But also, we've got available online. You can download our videos or our audios, right? Any time I want to at home, I've got saved videos on my DVD player. I'm sorry, DVR of, you know, Kenneth Copeland, Sid Roth, Bill Winston. I've got these I can watch them anytime. I can download messages from all around the world of great ministers. I can watch miracle shows all day. There's so much taking place in the world. That was not available to Abraham. That was not available to Moses. They were dependent upon a visitation of God. But we can plug in a DVD. Do you follow me? Visit a nearby conference and see God move. Plus, we can go into God's presence anytime through prayer that we want to. The point I'm making is we have unlimited opportunity and tools to create the internal image that faith can rest upon to override everything we see in the natural, to the point that you expect miracles. We serve a God who wants to do miracles. He just needs a people that will see it. Amen? Now go to 2 Corinthians again. Second Corinthians chapter 5. And let's go to verse number 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, let's spend a little bit of time on that. While we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Now, we understand that one of the means for that is certainly that as long as we're in this body on earth, we're not with God in heaven. Is that true? But I can tell you right now, I'm not absent from the Lord. God's here right now. He lives in me. He lives in you. We are not absent from the Lord. So I believe there's another meaning of that. I believe there's more to that than about the promise to go to heaven. I believe as long as you're absent, or as long as you're home in the body, in other words, you're at home with the natural. You're at home with everything the natural brings to you, all the signals and the information it brings to you. You're at home living in a cursed world. Is this okay? You will be absent from the blessing of God, even the presence of God. I want to become uncomfortable in the world. Not that I'm inviting affliction, but I'm talking about dissatisfaction living in the world system. I'm talking about not pleased without the promises of God and the power of God and the presence of God on my life all the time. I don't want to be at home in the body. I want to live in the body, but I want to be at home in the kingdom of God with the glory of God on me. And everything else to be unnatural. For we walk by faith, not by what we see with the natural eye. Now it says we walk by faith, not by sight. Right? But the truth is, you walk by faith and sight of a different kind. Remember we started off talking about how we look not at the things which are seen? That's natural sight. But we look at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Established in the heavens, right? We look, we walk by faith, and that is birthed out of sight at a higher level. And you've got to build your faith until you see it. And I'm not talking about you to actually see an image. You have a knowledge internally of what you possess. Amen. I remember back in high school, and I was taking some calculus. It was a course we had where they were teaching some advanced mathematics, and the professor was going into some basic calculus. And I told him afterward, I don't see it. I don't understand it. I don't understand what it was trying to. And he drew me a problem on the board and showed me the example of how this is. And I'm going, I still don't see it. I don't understand. And I don't know how much time it was later, but all of a sudden, I'd seen it enough times it clicked. I understood what calculus was saying. How many remember when you finally saw what calculus was saying? You knew what it meant, right? I recognized the value of calculus, what it was really declaring. Now, was I actually seeing an image? Was I seeing an image of anything calculus? No. I had a revelation of calculus. And I could then say, I see it now. Patty's reflecting on when she got a hold of multiplication. I was going to say she got a hold of multiplication because she never did get a hold of fractions. We're still battling on that one. I still got to tell her how much a third of a cup is, so. Praise God. If it's not marked on the container, she doesn't know where a third of a cup is, so we're still working on the fractions thing. Not picking on her, she just sees in a different realm. But I saw calculus internally. I had a revelation. And the eyes of faith don't just have a revelation, but it becomes a foundational. How can I say? Built in knowing that you have that revelation. Do you see this? Go over to Matthew chapter 16. Let's look at it there. Are you getting anything out of this tonight? Matthew chapter 16. Verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? See, first he asked them to quote who others say he is, but now he says, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood, say natural eye. flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Jesus says, you see who I am. Understand, Jesus did not wear an embroidered robe that said, King of kings, Lord of lords, Messiah, Jesus the Christ. You follow me? He didn't wear a big train, you know, it was tattooed across the back of the, you know how the boxers come out now and they have the cape and it's got, you know, their name on the cape. He didn't have a cape with his name on it, declaring who he was. To know who he was required you see it with other than the natural eye. So when Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said, you didn't see that with natural eyes. Flesh and blood didn't show that to you. You are seeing with a different eye. You're seeing what only the Spirit of God can reveal to you. You're seeing with an internal eye that the Spirit of God has illuminated to see who I am. Do you follow me on this? And he said, I say unto thee that thou art Peter. Right? And upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then he says, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Now we've talked about the keys of the kingdom, right? They are the spiritual principles that let us walk in the power and blessing of the kingdom of heaven. And faith is one of the predominant spiritual keys or spiritual principle that lets us receive of the things of God. So he says, follow me on this. Peter, you didn't see that with the natural eye. You saw it with the unseen eye, with the internal eye, right? By the Spirit of God revealing this to you. And he said, on this rock of this kind of revelatory ability, I'm going to build my church and it's going to give you the keys of heaven, or through giving you the keys of heaven, even under the power of binding and loosing. The Spirit of God, if you will give him access and spend time in the Word, will develop in you an internal image that will override natural expectation. And of course, create in you a supernatural expectation. And God's going to build his church through that. Through releasing this vision to us, and that we can walk in above natural. Now, let me find where I was. The Spirit of God gives us revelation. But until you meditate on that revelation, faith is not yet developed. Did you follow me on that? You can get a revelation out of the Word. You can see that God wants you healed. You can see that He wants you prosperous. He wants you saved. But until you develop faith in that promise, it goes unseen as far as faith. It's not enough to get just a revelation. You've got to know it belongs to you. I keep seeing this image tonight, so I'm gonna throw it into the lesson here. When I was a kid, we used to enjoy doing these paint by number things. They still have those, don't they? The paint by number. You get a little paint kit and they'll give you a picture with little numbers on it. You put the paint in that picture, and by the time you're done, it looks like you painted. And ours always looked like trash anyway, no matter if they're numbered or not. And what the Spirit of God does is gives you a paint by number. What do you call it? A template? That's not the word I want. Canvas. The Spirit of God gives you through a revelation a canvas that says, here's what you can have. Do you follow me? And then it gives you the paint, which is really the rest of the Word. He says, now spend time in the Word, and it will color in that entire canvas. And once it's all colored in where you truly see it in the fullness, you have it by faith. And see, the Spirit of God giving you revelation, you may have a mental ascension to it. But until you spend time painting that in by spending time in the Word and speaking it and meditating it, claiming it, it remains black and white, unfilled in, unempowered. We've got to stay with the promise until we fully see it within. Again, not that you see it with actual vision, but you see it by a knowing. That's what I was talking about the calculus. You know what it is. You know what you have. Did I lose you at that one? Everybody okay? Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. And here in Matthew 13, Jesus is shared the parable of the sower. Remember the parable of the sower? Sower went out to sow, fell onto four types of soil, and nobody understood a word he was talking about. So it says in verse 10, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? I really think they were saying, why are you speaking in parables at all? Because it's confusing even us. I'm sure they were blaming it on them. Why did you speak to them in parables? What was he talking about? Because they didn't know what he meant. He had to explain it to them. But of course, they're blaming it on the others. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. I read these narratives, I just have to think about what was really going on in their minds. Because he says, it's given to you to know the mysteries. I think maybe he's playing a trick with them. He knew they didn't understand a word he said. But he's going, but it's given to you to know the mysteries. Can we play with this just for a second? They come to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? And Jesus, because it's only given to you to know the mysteries. And they didn't know. I believe he was razzing them just a bit. Are you following me? And we see in other places, Jesus did that quite often. He would tempt them, or how can I say, lead them along, I believe, to get them out of just natural thinking. He says, for whosoever hath, to him it shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Now he says, to him that has the understanding, he'll get even more. But he that doesn't have, he'll lose what he has. They're going like, did you understand? No, but I'm acting like I did, you know. I'm sure they were. Did you ever nod when somebody's talking? You had no idea what they were saying. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I'll tune people out and I'll realize I went into an automatic nod mode. Like, yeah. And later I'll realize I don't remember a thing they said. I didn't hear a word of it. I was in some other planet for that moment because it didn't keep my attention long enough. And I think they went into nod mode here. Oh, yeah, we're giving more. Yeah. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, hear not, neither do they understand. Oh, he's really got them now. Do you follow him? Because we're going to see it in a minute. They didn't understand what he's talking about. He's going, they, seeing with the natural eye, don't see with the internal eye. And they hearing with the external ear, don't hear with the internal ear. In other words, they cannot receive of supernatural revelation. Oh, hallelujah. Did you ever have that feeling at times you're in church or around some Christians feeling like you're just not spiritual enough? Don't you know they were fighting the entire battle this whole time? I'm sure they're going like, did you understand anything he was talking about? Did you catch that parable? What's he talking about? Thorny soil. None of them understood it. And in them is fulfilled, look at this. I love it. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing you, see and not perceive. In other words, they didn't understand. He's teasing them right here. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I would heal them. In other words, they don't understand. If they understood, I could heal them. And they're going, we don't understand. But they didn't tell him that. He had to know it. You follow me? I'm sure he knew it, but they're looking at him like, oh yeah, we understood every word you said, yeah. Can you envision it? Verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see. No, they didn't. And your ears, for they hear. Nope. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. He's going. Many in the past have wanted to hear and see what you've been exposed to. You follow me? But then I think he just couldn't take it any longer. Jesus decided, watch this, he says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. He's got to explain it to them. He's not in front of the multitudes anymore. He's got to explain it. When anyone hear the word of the kingdom and understandeth not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown. He explains this entire parable to them. He was training them how to see with the eternal eye. How to understand there's a level beyond the natural we can function out of. You know, I go back all the time to that parable Jesus told about the man who built his house on the rock, and his house stood in the storms with him, and they built his house on the sand. The house fell. And he says, everyone that heareth and doeth my sayings builds his house on the rock. But those that hear and don't do build their house on the sand. And so it becomes paramount for us to hear and do the sayings of Jesus. But what did he do? What did he hear? Or what did he say? He taught on the principles of the kingdom of heaven. He taught how to function in this unseen realm. Most of Christianity is caught up dealing only with the seen. How to marry, how to bury, how to comfort, and how to grieve. But God's got the church. He wants to rise up and sing beyond the natural. And how to swim, how to soar, how to overcome, and how to cast every mountain out of your way. He's raising up a church that will function in that supernatural realm. But you've got to see it. And God's training us as end time Christians, training as end time church, to function in that realm. Matthew 24. We're not going to get to the part of it, faith speaking yet tonight. I can see that. That's okay. Verse 3, Matthew 24, verse 3. And as he sat up on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed that no man paint before you a false image. There are many deceivers out there. And God wants to raise us up as being those that can't be fooled. That the enemy cannot take out through deception. And the things you got to apply in your life to be free of deception is be a person of the Word, a person of integrity that will not violate the Word, and number 3, a person of divine order. because divine order was given to us to protect us from deception. We will all miss it at one time or another, and divine order will keep you from losing out when you miss it and get you right back on track. Do you see this? So Jesus says, take heed that you're not deceived. In other words, this is a warning. Deception is going to be trying to take you out. Whole nother lesson, right? For many shall come in my name saying, I'm Christ, and shall deceive many. In other words, I'm anointed. And you shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation. He says, see that you be not troubled. And he's going through all these catastrophes that are going to take place. Now, if somebody's describing all these horrific end time cataclysmic events, it would be very easy to be troubled. Do you follow me? It'd be very easy to be troubled. But I'm telling you, God's Word is able to paint an internal image within you to see above the catastrophes, knowing you'll be protected and carried above it. And because you can see above it, you're no longer troubled. I remember, remember Y2K? It's been 17 years ago now. 17 and a half. How many people do I know that were troubled by that? I mean, they were perplexed. They were worried the world's going to come to an end. There'll be no water, be no power grid. Everything's going to collapse. And I'd laugh and go, I have peace. Of course, I didn't believe anything was going to happen anyway. You follow me? But when people of a natural mind hear of calamity, potential calamity, they get worried. When people that see out of the Word, ability to live above and beyond, they have peace. And worry and fear are the result of watching the natural with a natural eye only. Worry and fear are the result of keeping your eyes in the seen realm only. But in eternal image, what God has promised will elevate you above it. I don't worry about the swine flu, the bird flu, the Hong Kong flu. Are you following me? Or whatever kind of flu's coming in the pipe. Why? I've got an image of living above it. And you get to paint the image you want to paint. I never really watched the show, but I've seen clips, I've seen pieces of it. But is it Bob Ross, that painter? And I see things about where he'll make a mistake on a painting, maybe the brush will slip. He said, we'll just make that a tree. You guys know what I'm speaking about? He wouldn't get upset. Oh, a lot of artists would make a mistake. Oh, I've made a mistake. Rip it up. Not Bob Ross. He does not. We'll turn it into a bird. This is a waterfall now, whatever. We'll make the best of it, turn it into something, make it even better. That's what people of faith do. When affliction tries to rise up, they say, I've got an internal image, I can turn that into something else. This is an opportunity to move into the glory of God. This is an opportunity for promotion. This is an opportunity to function in faith. Hallelujah. See that you are not troubled. Create an internal image that overrides any possible trouble. We should be people that never fear or worry for anything. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll close with this. Second Corinthians chapter 13. Let's go to verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. He says, examine. Now, when you examine something, you look at it, right? To examine means to look into, to look at. Examine yourselves, look at yourselves to see if you be in the faith. If you're in faith, you should be able to list what you're believing for. You should be able to list the verses you're standing on for those things. You follow me? Or a set of verses that connect to it. If you're in faith, it should be more than just some kind of mental assumption. Well, I just really think I want to see all my family saved. You should have verses you're standing on that you're decreeing, you're declaring. Because faith is not undefined. Faith is highly defined. A few years back, Patty and I had the opportunity to go stay in New York City, and we went to the Metropolitan Museum of Art, where they've got top works of art from around the world through all history. There are Rembrandts there. There are Picassos, Renoirs. Who's the guy? Pulled his ear off. Van Gogh's. I mean, every major, Michelangelo, major artists, sculptors. The stuff is there. It's phenomenal. But when I saw the stuff by Rembrandt, I was absolutely, absolutely in amazement. Has anybody seen a Rembrandt picture close up, a real one? It looks like a photograph painted before there were photographs. The detail is so precise and so exact. You can't tell that you're not looking at the real person pretty much. It's absolutely amazing. The focus on the detail. Well, faith sees the detail in the image you've created. Faith is never a blurry picture. Faith is precise and exact. Faith is specific and targeted. Do you see this? You may not know how everything's going to happen. You may not know the steps that are going to take place or the timing, but you know it's going to result in what the Word of God declares, and you can see it with precision, with focus. And it's important you stay in the Word. You target your faith in the Word for what you're believing for until it forms that fine image within. Because the internal image will override everything the external declares if faith has been developed. Did you see this? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Father, we thank you for your Word. We ask you to seal it within us. Cause it to be people of great expectation and great faith. I want to say something else. I may teach on it next week. Jude verse 20 says, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." It says when you pray in the Holy Ghost, it builds your faith. I believe what it does when you pray in the Spirit of God, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, it pulls you closer to the realm of the Spirit. So you're seeing the Word of God more closely. Do you follow me? It brings you right at mix to the realm of the Spirit when you pray in tongues very long. And when you're close to something, you see it better. So you see the promise of God better. Your faith's able to connect to it better. But when you start living out of the natural and you're not operating in the Spirit's best, the promise of God starts to fade in its focus and clarity. You want to stay spiritually connected to keep your faith functioning at the highest levels. Amen. Seal the Word in us, cause to be people of great faith, great victory, great revival. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.